Title: Sandthrow Automation for Dub Echoes Intermediate. Alright, let's level up your drum and bass automation game with one of the most useful tricks for making a track feel alive: Sandthrow Automation for Dub Echoes. The core idea is simple. Instead of leaving a delay running all the time and washing out your drums, you only throw specific hits into a return track for a split second. A word, a snare, a re-stab, a break slice, even a tiny percussion tick. It hits the echo, it trails off, and then you're immediately back to a clean, punchy mix. By the end of this lesson, you'll have a dedicated dub echo return in Ableton. You'll know exactly how to draw clean, tight throw automation, and you'll have a bunch of arrangement moves you can drop into rolling DNB, jungle, and darker halftime sections. Let's set the scene first. We're assuming you're working around 170 to 175 BPM. You've got a drum bus, a bass group, and maybe some vocal chops, stabs, or FX. The mindset is important. You're not adding delay. You're choosing moments and firing them into a controlled echo space. Now let's build that echo space properly. Create a return track. In Ableton, go to Create, Insert Return Track, rename it a Dub Echo. This is going to be your dedicated dub return, tuned for DNB clarity. On that return, we're going to build a stock Ableton chain in this order. First device, echo. This is the main delay. Turn sync on so it locks to tempo. For time, start with either 1/4 note or 3/16. 3/16 is especially DNB friendly because it gives that rolling, slightly shuffly bounce without turning into a big EDM repeat. Set feedback around 35 to 55%. You want a trail, not a spiral. We'll talk about feedback accidents in a minute. Now the most important part for DNB. Filtering. High pass the echo around 200 to 400 Hz to protect your sub, and low mids. Then low pass somewhere around 4 to 8k Hz for a darker dub tone. That gives you the space without the harsh top end. Add a touch of modulation if you want a little movement, but keep it subtle. And on a return track, set dry slash wet to 100%. Always. Returns are wet only spaces. If you leave dry signal in there, you can get facey doubling and clutter. Next device after echo, saturator. This is where the repeats get density and attitude. Start with drive around 2 to 6 dB. You can enable soft clip if you want it to stay controlled when a loud throw hits. The point is, the echo should be audible in the mix without you cranking the return volume. Next, EQ8. This is your cleanup. High pass again somewhere in the 200 to 500 Hz range, and don't be afraid to go steeper if you're making heavy rollers. If the echo fights your snare crack, a small dip around 2 to 4k Hz can make the delay tuck in perfectly. And if you want it darker, low pass around 6 to 10k Hz. Then optionally, a compressor. Even if it's doing only a little, it helps keep the return consistent. And in a minute, we'll sidechain it so the echoes sit behind the drums automatically. Before we move on, here's a really useful coaching move that saves you from random level jumps. If your throws vary a lot in level, like a snare throw one moment and a vocal throw the next, put a utility at the very start of the return chain, before echo. Set it to trim the input by about -6 to -12 dB. That way the echo and saturator are living in a sweet spot, and one loud throw doesn't suddenly explode the saturation and leap out of the mix. Cool. Now you've got a controlled dub echo return. Time to actually throw things into it. In Ableton, you have two main ways to automate this. The most common, and usually the best for drum and bass, is automating the send knob on the source track. So on your snare track, you automate send A. That's your per-hit precision weapon. A less common, but super clean option is automating volume on the return itself, like putting a utility on the return and automating its gain. That's more of a global bring the echo in and out approach, not as surgical on a single transient. We're focusing on send automation today. Let's do your first throw. Classic example. The last snare in a 2-bar phrase echoes into the gap. Go to your snare track. Press it to show automation lanes. In the automation chooser, select the parameter for send A. Now draw it like this. For most of the phrase, keep send at minus infinity or basically off. Then, right on the snare you want to throw, jump the send up briefly to around -6 to -3 dB. And immediately after the hit, drop it right back down to minus infinity. The detail that separates clean and pro from why is my mix blurry. Keep the send open for a very short window. Think of it like a gate, not a fader ride. A tiny plateau, like a 16th note or even a 32nd note, just long enough to catch the transient. Here's a diagnostic trick I want you to use like a teacher's cheat code. Solo the return track. If you hear a bunch of stuff between hits, like hats, room tone, or ghost notes feeding the delay, your send windows are too wide. Tighten them until you mostly hear only the intended hits triggering the echo. Now listen in the full mix. You want the snare to still go PSHCH clean, and then the echo tail answers it in the space after, without smearing the next downbeat. Next, let's make it feel rhythmic instead of like generic repeats. The NB delays should reinforce the grid, but not turn into 4 on the floor delay spam. So experiment with a few time values on echo. 3/16 is a classic rolling shuffle energy. An 1/8 note dotted is more dramatic and bouncy. A 1/4 note is bigger dub space, but you'll want fewer throws, because it fills more room. And here's a very real world workflow trick. If you find yourself wanting two different rhythmic spaces, duplicate your return track. Make one called A, VUB Echo 3/16 and another B, Dub Echo 1/4. Then you can throw snares into one and vocal chops into the other, and it instantly sounds arranged, like you planned it, because different elements live in different echo rhythms. Now let's stop the two classic disasters, mud and runaway feedback. First, mud control is non-negotiable. If your sub or low mids are echoing, your headroom disappears and your drums lose punch. So keep that return high pass somewhere between 200 and 500 Hz. And if you're making really minimal dark rollers, you can even push it higher, like 700 Hz for a super mid-only dubtail. Second, feedback discipline. Keep it moderate, 35 to 55% for normal throws. If you automate it up for a special moment, do it intentionally and always reset it. Build a habit. After any wow moment, check that feedback isn't stuck at 80 or 90%, and check your send automation returns to off. Copying sections can accidentally preserve a special moment setting, and then you're wondering why the next 16 bars are chaos. All right, now the secret sauce for keeping the groove huge. Duck the echoes behind the drums. On the DUB echo return, put a compressor after EQ8. Enable sidechain. Choose your drum bus, or at least your kick and snare group, as the sidechain input. Start with a ratio around 4 to 1. Attack between 1 and 5 milliseconds. Release around 80 to 160 milliseconds, and you'll time it by feel so it breathes with the groove. Then lower the threshold until you see the echo tuck down when the drums hit. This makes the delay pump with the drums, so you feel the space, but the transient stays up front. That's the difference between echo is loud and echo is glued. Now let's talk arrangement, because throws are punctuation, not wallpaper. A super reliable move is end of phrase snare throws every 2 or 4 bars. Throw a vocal chop into the pre-drop, especially one bar before the drop, and then hard cut it at the drop so the tail creates this vacuum. Throw a re-stab after a call, then leave room for the response. If you're doing jungle edits, throw one break slice at the end of a fill, not the entire fill. One slice gives you a signature tail that says section change without turning the fill into mush. And a nice club-ready structure trick. In a 16-bar drop, place throws on bars 4, 8, 12, and 16. It's subtle, but it creates phrase markers that the listener feels. Let's speed up your workflow now. Once your return is built, keep one automation lane open on the main throw track, like your snare or your vocal chop track. Make one good throw shape, then copy and paste it around the arrangement. After you paste, vary the send peak slightly, like minus 8 dB on one throw, minus 4 dB on the next, so it feels dynamic, not like a loop. You can also experiment with automation ramps. Instead of a straight on-off, you swell the send into the throw for a more psychedelic dub feel. Just keep it tight enough that you're still catching the intended hit, not feeding a whole bar of hats into the abyss. Quick common mistakes check, because these are the ones that waste hours. If the return isn't 100% wet, you'll get doubling and clutter. If you're throwing low end into the delay, your mix will lose punch fast. If your send automation is too long, you'll smear hats and ghost notes, and your roller stops rolling. If feedback creeps and you don't reset, you'll get runaway echo chaos. Sometimes cool, often not what you meant. And if you don't duck the return, the echoes can mask the snare transient and make the groove feel smaller. Now for a few darker, heavier pro touches. If you want that techie, dubby edge, you can make the echo mid-only by tightening stereo in the low mids. One way is utility on the return. Keep low frequencies more mono, or reduce width below a couple hundred Hz. It keeps the center strong while the tail lives around it. You can distort the repeats, not the source. That's why the saturation is on the return. You can also add overdrive after echo for crunchy, industrial tails, and then EQ after to keep it dark. You can add an easy motion with frequency shifter after echo. Very subtle shifts, like +10 to +40 Hz, can make the tail feel alive and slightly wrong in a good way, especially for neuro or tech step vibes, and a really slick trick. Pre-delay the throw, put a simple delay before echo on the return, set to a few milliseconds, that creates a micro gap so your transient stays punchy, and the echo blooms right behind it. It makes the effect feel intentional, like a space that opens after the hit. If you want extra movement without masking, try two-stage motion, sidechain ducking to keep it clean, and then a very slow autopan after the compressor, super low amount, so tails drift subtly over time. Now here's your mini practice exercise. Set a timer for 10 to 15 minutes. Build your A, dub echo return, echo, then saturator, EQ8, and a sidechained compressor. Pick one snare at the end of every 4 bars in your drop. Automate send a so it peaks around -5 dB, and keep the duration tight, like a 32nd to a 16th note. Flip echo time between 3/16ths and 1/4 note and decide which fits your groove better. Add one vocal chop or stab throw in the bar before the drop, and then hard cut it at the drop. Then export a quick bounce and listen at low volume. Low volume is brutally honest. Ask yourself, do the drums stay punchy? Are the echoes still perceptible without dominating? Do downbeats right after throws still hit hard? One final workflow tip before we wrap. Use automation grid and fixed grid when you're drawing these momentary sends. It makes those tight tap shapes much faster. And after you place a few throws, consolidate so you can actually see the phrase structure instead of drowning in micro edits. Then when you duplicate sections, do a quick 3-point check, send levels, feedback, return volume. That's how you avoid accidentally copying a wild moment into the wrong place. Recap. You built a dedicated dub echo return that's filtered and gain staged for DNB clarity. This audio version is shortened for playback.